Hello everyone, I'm from University of Maine, assistant professor working in extension. Today I'm going to present on using different nitrogen fertilizer to improve the yield and nitrogen use efficiency and quality of potatoes under irrigated and dry land cultivation system. Maine has a significant impact of potato production on its economy, and a potato is the main crop and mostly being produced in Aroostook County in Maine, some around 50,000 acres presently being planted under potatoes, but historically more than 100,000 were planted there. The area under potatoes being decreased, and it is because of the yield is not increasing, it's staying same for last 20, 30 years, and the input cost is really high. If you know about the potato production system, it's somewhere around $3,000 per acre investment, where you can get the benefit depending on the quality and the yield of potatoes. So despite the stable yield, the profit is declined, and there are slow-release nitrogen fertilizers being used in the northwest United States, but not in Maine. The fundamental reason is it's a small growth window. If your nitrogen is releasing later in the season, it can elongate the growth window, where you probably end up having a snow and harvesting your potatoes. So to reduce that growth window, mostly farmers apply all the fertilizer, readily available fertilizer, at planting. So the objective of this study was if we can apply any slow-release nitrogen fertilizer, not increase the growth window, improve the yield, and the second objective was people used to apply ammonium sulfate, which end up having more acidity in the soil, and historically Maine growers were using ammonium sulfate to reduce to low down the soil pH to protect the potatoes from scab problem. But now, since the scab resistant varieties are there, Russet Burbank, there is no need to low down the pH. And the next objective is how to improve the pH to grow grains in Maine. So that was the overall goal of this study. This was the soil test on two locations, one on dry land potato production, one on, here is a dry land MS81 school farm, and the eastern, it was a irrigated potato land. These are the soil tests. If you look at the sulfur number here, it is very low. The optimum range is 15, but you look at here is 5 and 6. The reason is now farmer, if do not apply ammonium sulfate, the sulfur is coming from ammonium sulfate. If they replace ammonium sulfate, potatoes takes lots of sulfur, and sulfur is also, because of EPA regulations, is not depositing enough in the soil. And potatoes are not the one that shows sulfur deficiency as corn. So, but you probably see the sulfur deficiency in the yield, but not on the foliage. So these were my treatments here. Urea split two times at different stages, ammonium sulfate, urea, agrotain, slow release, DAP, NK21. This was a new fertilizer supplied by Crop Production Services. It's a blend of ammonium nitrate and potassium mixture. It's it comes in the category of slow release fertilizer. And then calcium ammonium nitrate and ESN, and we have ammonium sulfate, which is pretty much hiding here in the slide. So these were the results in terms of yield from two sites from different fertilizers. You will see the NK21, which was a combination of nitrogen and potassium. Let me explain you, the potassium potato takes lots of potassium, and their response very good towards potassium. But we adjusted the rate, we applied everything, phosphorus and potassium as required on the farmer field. So we adjusted it, but this NK21 has a mixture. It's a pink color fertilizer and a slow release fertilizer. That makes a big difference here in terms of yield on the dry land as well as on the irrigated. But here the DAP performed a little better, but there was not 40 tons per acre compared to NK21, which was 39. But if you combine the two sites together here, the NK21 was better compared to any other fertilizer. Especially if you take up the urea and the control, they were quite struggling. And this was a dry period. In July, most of the time in Maine, we usually get a decent amount of rain, but this year it was a dry year, and most of the potato vines were dead in September. Usually farmers apply some top kill to kill the potato vines, but this year it was a dry year and potato vines were really, really killed down by the deficiency of water. So, even in the dry season, we have a decent response. But looking at the aspect of applying all the fertilizer at planting, and we have a decent rain happened after planting in April, May, June, where lots of rain happened in Maine almost every week. I don't have the data here, but I want to convey the message here is even if we have a dry season in July, we still have a response from slow-release fertilizers. It is little lower on the irrigated, but it is quite well on the dry land. So we use some sensor work here, Crop Circle ACS 430 Green Seeker handheld and Green Seeker pocket sensor. And again, we had some chlorophyll estimation from Crop Circle, leaf area index estimation from Crop Circle, and crop height estimation. And it's all in this 430 model. So we use the Red Edge NDVI, and you clearly see that the R-scare here is pretty strong compared to any other Red NDVI, and I published a few articles on that, how Red Edge NDVI is better than Red NDVI. It's saturated, and the Red Edge performed better. It has more variability towards high biomass compared to red wavelength, so that was the reason it was better in here. And we did it a few leaf stages, 6 leaf stage, 8 leaf stage, 10 and 12 leaf stage. Even at the 6 leaf stage, we have some strong correlation here. We can actually predict how much nitrogen is required, which would be, and this stage is pretty much at a first hilling, which usually happen after a month of potato planting. So if at the time of hilling you have little plants came up and you can do some nitrogen application, it won't increase the growth window of potatoes, but it improved the nitrogen use efficiency of potatoes. Here, the Red NDVI, again, it was lower, but at 12 leaf stage, it is improving as the leaf stage is improving. But the whole idea of this using a sensor is not using at the later stages, because it will end up having more a long growth period for potatoes. And not giving enough time for farmers to harvest their potatoes. On the eastern side, again, we found the relationship getting stronger as the leaf stage is advancing. And similar with the Crop Circle, the Red Edge NDVI was better compared to Red NDVI. We do not have any Red NDVI in a Green Seeker, but we do have in Crop Circle. As I mentioned earlier, the Red Edge is better because of it's a high variability towards the high biomass. When we combine the data from two sites towards the sensor prediction models, at 6 leaf stage, the relationship was really weak when we combined the two sites together. And it makes sense to me because one side was irrigated and one side was dry land, and there's a different nitrogen response at both sites. So it makes a difference in terms of when we combine the sites. And in my previous work, I mentioned how the cultivation system, tillage system, can influence the nitrogen response and need to be segregated. Again, here as the leaf stage advances, the relationship getting better. I would go when we combine the sites. I won't be doing any robust model combining all the sites depending on their irrigation and dry land. We do not have much irrigated land, but we do have around 15,000 irrigated potatoes in Maine compared to all 50,000 total acres. So if we'll be developing any model, we'll be developing a model separate for irrigated and separate for dry land production system. With that, the conclusion is the nitrogen response was different at both dry land irrigated potato production, as you have seen the difference in the yield. The sensor were able to detect the deficiency symptoms in nitrogen on both sites, on irrigated and dry land. And this was the there is not much work being done on the sensor used in potatoes. So we do have some a good relationship that sensor can predict the nitrogen requirement for potatoes. The red edge was found better compared to red end DVI. As I said, the higher biomass makes a difference towards the red edge and red NDVI prediction models. And the last but not the least, the leaf area index and the chlorophyll was successfully estimated by the crop circle. There was not much estimation model available, but the crop circle, the newer crop circle, the 430 model has the estimated chlorophyll and LAI. And if we multiply the LAI, which is leaf area index, and chlorophyll with the sensor reading, it improved the model. So we do not need to actually manually calculate the LAI or chlorophyll content, and we just multiply those estimated, and we can improve the model. Thank you. I would acknowledge with that MSAD School Farm for their services, helping me in planting and harvesting, and Human Extension for providing me funds to do this research. Thank you.
Any questions?
Yes.
Did you by any chance control the soil moistures in the dry land compared with the irrigated land?
So the question is, did I compare any soil moisture between the two sites? The answer is no. Do not have the funds to do that. But that's a good question. Yes, we just got a fund from Specialty Crop Grant, and we'll be doing those soil moisture studies on our future research. Yes. Thank you.